Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 44 for February 20th, 2008. Whittling Around. This show and the entire TWiT broadcast network is brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thanks. It's time for Net at Night from beautiful Petaluma, California, on the west coast of the United States. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur in the middle of Canada in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Winnipeg. Beautiful Winnipeg, where they say, what do they say? They say, summer is 2 weeks of bad hockey, I think is what
funny.
They say. Is it snowy?
You know what? It's not snowing, but when we flew in, it was completely snow covered and it was absolutely freezing. And I haven't talked to anyone in Winnipeg yet because I literally got out of the cab and ran into the hotel and ran up to my room. So
is it like 38 below? I mean, is it really, really cold?
It was minus 25 when I got off the plane.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. It's a little chilly, but from my hotel window, it looks beautiful out.
Yeah. Nice and warm. So are you in the, what, it's in Manitoba, right?
Yes, it is.
So you're
Manitoba.
Kind of in the plains? Are you in the prairies? Or is it mountainous?
It's very flat. So
flat. Yeah,
I would say
you're in
the
plains.
Prairies.
Yeah, you're in the plains states. Well,
yeah.
Fun for you. Fun for you.
Yes, it's good.
What
times.
Brings you to Winnipeg? You're giving a speech.
I'm doing a presentation to CBC Radio and talking about the future of radio and interesting things that are being done online with podcasting. So,
you've got to send me your notes because I'm giving the same speech in 2 weeks to a conference called Radio Inc., which is U.S. broadcast, terrestrial broadcasters. And they want to know about the future of radio and technology.
My gosh. Leo, you know what? We
Send
should actually
notes.
Collaborate. We don't have to do so many presentations.
We could just share.
That's
you give me that
idea.
One. I'll give you anything you want. You just ask.
I have another one, too, you can have.
Good. It's true. Why not reuse these presentations? They don't know. I mean, they do now.
No.
Shh.
I wish they would just send us together to do these.
We should. Well, I told the Levin Agency, I'm ready to go. I'm tanned, rested, and ready to speak.
I'm gonna talk to them again. I think it would be good.
We did that fun one in Vancouver where we talked about HD TV. Little did we know HD DVD was on its way out already. Dead now.
I know.
Dead. You don't have a high def DVD player though.
Yeah, I do actually.
You do?
Yeah. I just don't watch DVDs because I realize that I don't watch a lot of videos, really. I think I have a short attention span, Leo. That's the problem.
You do. If it's not on the internet, you have no interest in it whatsoever.
I know. I'm thinking of getting Apple TV.
You should. It's fun. But I don't know if it's as fun in Canada because you don't have all the TV shows and movies.
Yeah. Fortunately, my mom has a U.S. credit card, so she's giving it up to us.
Yeah. You could do anything then because that's all they
I
check.
Know. Yeah. Yeah, that's how my brother is very happy right now.
Well, let's take a look at the headlines of the week, the top stories hitting the net. There's a lot going on in the net. It seems like I signed up for more Web 2.0 companies this week than I have in a long time.
I know, there's so much going on. I really can't keep up. Okay, so the first story is listening to internet chatter. There is an exhibit in London, England, and it allows people to go in and see tiny little screens with internet chatter, like text on it,
and
there's music that accompanies this chatter, so it's almost like you're listening to the internet. That probably made no sense. Do you understand what I'm saying, Leo?
It does, yeah. Now, they're getting this chat from public chat sites.
Exactly.
So not from your personal instant messaging, although that would be, frankly, more interesting.
But they're not censoring anything. So oftentimes, because it's public chatter, right, in forums and chat rooms, that oftentimes there are swear words that come up. And so they're just letting everything kind of get out there as an art exhibit. And BBC published an article about this story. And an interesting read, there are 231 small electronic screens,
Wow.
and the chatter kind of rotates throughout these screens, and then they had a composer go in and attach some sounds to the different screens, and so you can actually hear possibly what internet chatter would
There's something
sound like.
Compelling to about watching live stuff. For instance, you could do something similar with Twitter Vision. Sure. Where
yep.
everything that's going on Twitter is put on a Google map. It's a Google mashup. If it's Dave Troy did it at twittervision.com. In fact, I think Twitter Vision is going to be on a display at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. As the same kind of idea, interactive stuff.
Wow, that's great. It reminds me of, I know one of the guys, I think, who you're working with right now on the lab, I don't know if it's Victor Lucas or his partner, they do the video games live. Have you ever heard of
what's
that?
No, what's that?
It's like, as far as I know, it's like a symphony, and they reenact video games
they do
on
that?
Stage.
That was
going to
be in Toronto. I didn't know Victor was doing that. That was going to be in Toronto, and then they canceled it. I was going to go see it at Massey Hall.
I know, that's where they go. And I don't know if it's Victor or his partner. I can't remember his partner's
Tommy
name.
Tallarico? I think it is Tommy, yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds amazing. It's not exactly the same thing as what we're talking about with internet chatter, but I do find it neat to see some of these technology trends and kind of merge into art exhibits as well.
I remember going to the lobby of Google, and they do the same thing at Google. You can see the live searches as they're going by. And it was Ask. Who was it? Was it Ask or somebody? Maybe it was Alta Vista used to have a live search page where you could just see people's searches as they're going. And there is something really cool. It's a little voyeuristic, but it's also just interesting to see what people are looking at.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I mean, it always reminds me of concerts that you go to and where they have the screens on stage, especially if you go to a concert that is sponsored by Virgin and they have text messages that are constantly coming up on screen. And, you know, it's fun to watch. I have no idea why. I remember being at the Flaming Lips concert in Toronto a couple of summers ago and looking up on the screen and people are texting and I'm reading that the whole time while Wayne is in a giant big bubble rolling around the crowd.
They have always been very cutting edge with all their stuff. Got a performance already. So here's the deal. I'm reading in Dave Troy's blog. Museum of Modern Art in New York is accepting Twitter Vision, and he does one called Flickr Vision, for their 2008 exhibit, Design and the Elastic Mind. So that's going to be at MoMA in New York City, February 24th through May 12th, 2008, which is really neat. This is, by the way, he says, the first time Ruby on Rails projects have ever been displayed in a major art exhibit.
That's really cool.
The design in the Elastic Mind looks really cool. It's moma.org in the exhibitions section, and you can read more about what they're going to do. And in fact, guess what? Tonight, the members preview.
Oh, cool.
What's going on right now? It's going on right now, even as we speak.
We should be there, not in the Peg and Napa.
In the Peg and Petaluma. I'm in Sonoma, not Napa.
Sonoma, sorry. You know what? I know. You always get so sensitive when I do this.
It's like saying, you're there in Ottawa. It's a difference.
It's a little different. That's a five-hour drive. Nice try, Leo.
Okay. Well, okay. It's right. It's just over the hill. But anyway, we in Sonoma are a little sensitive because Napa gets all the attention for the wine country and all that. And we feel here in Sonoma that, you know, this is a pretty good county, too. I mean, it's no Mendocino. No, I'm sorry. You couldn't
nice.
Care less about any of this. Let's get on to your next one. Actually, this is something that I had on my blog a little while ago, and then I guess they did it in Toronto, and now they're going to do it in San Francisco.
I know, and it kind of leads well from our most recent story in the
sense
that
it's another kind of art, isn't it?
Yeah, it's another type of art, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen this, that Grand Central Frozen in Time, where I think they had at least 200 people participate in an art project where they went to Grand Central Station and actually froze in specific positions for 5 minutes, and you can watch the video on YouTube, and it's amazing to watch because everybody's scurrying around, then all of a sudden they stop and they stay in positions, and other people who have no idea what's going on walk up and poke them and try to get them to blink. And so it is kind of an interesting art exhibit as well.
It's pretty cool. If you go to Improv Everywhere, that's who does this, improveverywhere.com, they do a lot of different kinds of improvisational stuff. But the thing at Grand Central is very, very cool. It's on my blog, too. And then you have a link at Kana Kumai's blog, or as you said, on YouTube. The thing that's kind of interesting is they don't warn anybody that they're going to do this. So it's all prearranged. People are walking all over Grand Central Station, and then they just they do a signal, and they just freeze, and they don't tell anybody. And people are stunned.
I know.
What's what? And there's enough of them. There's like 100 of them. And they also freeze in kind of fun positions.
I know. And you know what? The issue with this, though, is I think I read this online today. Someone kind of turned their nose up at the fact that Toronto had the Frozen in Time exhibit because they feel as though it's all copycat stuff. So there's nothing original anymore.
Oh, please. I think this is great.
I think it's fun. I think it's, you know, it definitely gets people talking in different towns across the world. And you know, just watching it, it's interesting. And it's interesting to see that many people collaborate at the same time.
Where was it in Toronto and what did they do?
I didn't actually see it in Toronto. The last I heard of it, they were planning to do it at the Eaton Center. And they were trying to get 200 people. It was organized on Facebook. They were doing it on a Saturday. So I don't know
if
they
went to shopping mall
Yes.
Toronto, underground shopping mall. So they're going to do it in San Francisco Saturday, February 23rd, this coming Saturday at 3:15. Anybody listening in San Francisco, go to the cable car turnaround on Powell. I guess it's the Powell one. There's, you know, I'm reading Scott Beals posted on laughingsquid.com. He says the cable car turnaround, they don't say there's two of them. It is the Powell and Market cable car turnaround. 3:15. And what they're going to do this time, it's not Improv Everywhere. It's just a copycat. Is they have a big horn, and they're going to blow the horn and you freeze. Then they're going to blow the horn again and you unfreeze, and they're going to do it over and over again. And apparently, the same kind of thing's going on Saturday in San Diego and Boston, and that's Improv Everywhere Global doing that one.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think this is so cool.
Is it Improv Everywhere who did that exhibit at the Best Buy store in New York City? If you remember that, they got people to dress up in blue shirts. Yeah.
Yeah. And they got a little bit into trouble because they looked like Best Buy employees, and Best Buy got mad.
I know.
But you can wear blue shirts. It's not illegal.
It's not illegal.
Not yet.
No, not at all. Not yet.
Not at all.
Okay, so for our next story, this is a video trailer for a new book. I don't know anything about the author, but the reason that I have it in here, Leo, is that I read an article in the Globe and Mail, which is Canada's national newspaper, or one of them, and it's an article about how some authors are doing video trailers for their books and putting them on the web. And
that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, and you're a big Audible fan, and you know, I know you read a lot. I like to read as well. And what I thought was neat about it is that I have noticed this happening more and more. I know Douglas Copeland, for one of his recent books, he did a video trailer and put it up on YouTube, and I wonder if we'll see more and more of this down the road.
Here, you want me to play a little bit of it? It says, The Overnight Fame of Steffi McBride.
Sure,
why not? And it's a memoir of a fictional young soap star who becomes a national icon. But it's not, but it's, I mean, it looks like it's a video. They have actors and stuff playing the characters.
No one told us.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's a full trailer.
But it's a novel.
Something special sitting there in the corner of the room staring at us.
So she's talking about.
The man was jotting down notes.
She's not real. I mean, it's confusing.
It's not the author talking about the book. So it's actually, they've actually produced
actors,
trailers
yeah.
and get actors to come and act out a part of the book so that they can engage more people, especially an online audience, to be interested in their book based on the trailer. Obviously, a visual medium is a great way to engage people in that.
I'm doing an interview on the radio show on this weekend. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be, with Matt Richtel, who wrote, he's an interesting guy, New York Times reporter who covers technology, and he wrote a novel called Hooked that's about Silicon Valley, and it's about a technology overload, and it's very exciting. It starts with a explosion in an internet cafe in the Marina District, and it's all it's really interesting, so I'm gonna talk to him.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I remember that yesterday I watched this video, and it's been out, it hasn't been out for that long, maybe just a few weeks, but David Pogue did it last year at TED Talks. He did a 4-minute video where he talks about the future of the music industry, and it's so funny. He actually sings and plays a keyboard.
Well, you know, that's he's famous. That's how David Pogue got his start. He was a composer. He's a Broadway composer.
I did not realize that. Hold on a second. Yeah, hold on.
Hello, Ms. MacArthur. Yes, this is the front desk. There's 1,000 people down here who are
okay.
big fans of yours, and they're saying they want to come up and join the podcast. Or,
oh, don't even mention that. I had a fan from the UK actually buy me a star in the galaxy.
Oh, he named a star after you.
He did, M36.
So I don't want to play the B. M36 is now Amber MacArthur star.
Yeah, who would have thunk it?
Did he name it that?
Yeah, he needed the Amber Dawn MacArthur star. It was interesting.
Oh, isn't that neat? Let me play. This is the 4-minute. We could play this 4-minute medley that David wrote. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if we did it.
No.
On I don't want to get the BMW out of here. Let me start with the David.
A TED medley.
This is David Pogue, New York Times journalist.
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Record store is closed for the night, so I fire up the old iTunes music store, and soon I am feeling all right. I know Steve Jobs can find me a melody with $1 pricing that rocks. I can type in a track and get album names back while still in my PJs and socks. iPod's still got 10 gigs to go. Yes, we might prefer more compatibility, but Steve likes to run the whole show.
He's the greatest. I love David. We've had him on the show before. This show, as well as, I think, haven't we had him on the show, or maybe just Mac Break?
Yeah, we did. We interviewed him at Mac World about 2 years ago.
Yeah. And this was from TED, which, by the way, if you haven't seen the TED videos, the TED conference costs like $7,000 to go to. But who cares? Because you can see all the videos at TED.com. TED stands for Technology Entertainment Design. It's an amazing yearly event. It started in Monterey, and now I know they have it in Africa too, and they're going global with it.
It's so good, and the videos they put online are amazing.
They're inspiring. And in fact, Tony Robbins, the guy you've been doing some work for, that's the first time I've ever seen a part of Tony's seminars. And I was totally blown away by it. He talks about how everybody just wants to be significant.
Yeah. And that's the first time I ever saw Tony speak as well. I watched that TED Talks video before I actually met him in Toronto. And it was really, really good. And I got really jazzed. And I think that got a ton of hits on the TED Talks site. A lot of people enjoyed it. And he was a huge hit with the audience there. They do a great job. And for anyone who has some time, definitely explore that site. It's fantastic.
Looks like Zave Frank has one here called What's So Funny About the Web. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't. Well,
this is a little bit older. This is from 2004. Let me play a little bit of that. These are so great. And you can subscribe to them. All right. I skipped that part on the David Pogue one.
The kind of sex appeal and star.
Oh, you know what it is? It's just Zay Frank. It's like his podcast. What is he doing now that he's not doing that anymore?
I know. He puts random videos up on his site once in a while. He'll do a video for example.
He did that song. That song that we played, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know what he's doing other than that, but
what did he do before he did? What did he do before he was Zay Frank? I mean, what is he, a graphics designer?
I don't know. He's very mysterious, don't you think?
He is. He's very mysterious. I mean, he has a lot of videos on there. He has like interactive, flash stuff that he does.
I know. We should invite him on the show. Why don't I do that? I'll get.
Would you?
In touch
do you think? Because he wouldn't come if I asked him. But if
No.
The
I don't
beautiful
know
woman in Winnipeg called.
Go Peg. I don't know.
You're not. Are you going to South by Southwest? Because that's in a couple of weeks. Are you going to do that?
I don't know. I wish I could go, but I'm not. It doesn't look good. Are you going to go?
I was going to go, and then I was gonna, the same thing last year. Same thing happened. Tom Merritt asked me to be on his Future of Video or Future of Television panel. Last year, Jay Adelson from Revision 3, a lot of great people were on it, and I was scheduled and had to cancel because I had to do a radio conference, and the same exact thing happened this year. I'm speaking at a Radio Inc. conference that Tuesday. I'm talking about the future of radio, and because that's kind of the, in the business I'm in, I kind of have to do that. If I did South by Southwest, it'd be for fun, but I kind of have to do these radio things. So, and I mean, I want to, it's a real honor to be asked to keynote this, but, I can't believe I missed it again.
I know. It's I've only been once and I had a really good time. Although I was working there and I'd like to go sometime and just not work. Just
next
hang
year.
Out with
let's
people.
Just do that. You and I will
I know,
just
let's go.
We won't try. The problem was I was trying to do podcasts and I was trying to make it all work. And I just next time, let's just go and attend for fun.
Exactly. We won't even be interviewed on any podcast.
We won't tell anybody we're there. I'm looking, you know, it's all over Pounce and Twitter, all the parties and Facebook, too. If you go to Chris Krug's Facebook page, he's signed up for every, like 28 parties in 3 days. He signed up for every South by Southwest party. He's there. He's on every one of them.
Well, Leo, I have been at a conference with Chris Krug last summer in Banff, and he will probably go to all those parties.
I know. I believe it. I got to 5,000 Facebook friends this week, by the way.
I know. I'm so proud of you,
sold
Leo.
Out. But every once in a while it goes down by one or two. So then I can add somebody, but there's a long, you know, there's a queue now of like 40 people and I can't add anybody. I have 60 friend requests and no slots.
And they just have to wait for people to drop off.
Yeah. This is cool. This is like, now I'm like a hot nightclub. I'm like a Studio 54 of Facebook, you know? Well, just wait at the rope line. And if any room becomes available, we'll be sure to let you know.
Yeah, one for one, baby.
Yeah. It's pretty
time.
One out, one in. It's pretty
exactly.
funny. And if you have two people in your picture, your Facebook picture, I have to wait till two people leave because of the fire marshal rules. So just so you know. Yeah. It's, they're tough at Facebook.
You're all over the rules. Actually, someone wrote me on Facebook yesterday and I had changed my status. So I was talking about that pug screensaver that you put on your blog.
Isn't that funny?
Kind of wish you didn't do that.
Did that kind of get in your ear? Did it get a little slobber in your ear there? I'm sorry.
The pug screensaver. So I posted on my blog and then someone wrote on Facebook and someone wrote back on Facebook on my wall and they said, hey, is it illegal or against the rules if I change my status update to match yours?
Oh,
it's like,
that's interesting.
There are no rules on Facebook.
That's really like interesting.
I know. They were worried about that. I say, I'm very open with those things. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, she's kind of a free spirit that way.
Exactly.
Whatever you want, man. You know, it's a free concert, okay?
Totally.
Totally, man. What else? Okay. Oh, I was going to mention that I'm really excited about this. You know, Jonathan Colton. I guess Jonathan became aware of us because I kept playing Code Monkey over and over. And you know, I think we played this, thanks to you, you mentioned this, that he composed Still Alive, the song that is the final song at when you finish Portal. Mm-hmm. And I am, by the way, on the ninth, on the last level of Portal. I can't solve this last puzzle. I can't figure it out. I'm stuck on the stairs. There's nowhere I can go. Nothing's happening. And I want to finish it because on Friday, I am going to get to play behind Jonathan Colton. Perform that song at the Great American Music Hall.
You're not.
Me and Merlin.
That is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
If you were in town, I'm pretty sure I could guarantee you'd get to play too.
That is awesome, Leo.
Can I tell you, I don't know if this is, Merlin says, I don't, you know, Jonathan didn't say I shouldn't say anything about it. The concert's sold out, by the way, at Great American Music Hall. But I think the deal is, I don't know, I shouldn't say why we're doing this.
Oh, come on, Leo. We're all friends
here. We're making a video because I think Still Alive is going to be part of the next Rock Band version. You know that game Rock Band? You ever played
Rock
Band?
Yeah.
Isn't that Rock Band fun?
I haven't played Rock Band, no.
It's really fun. Anyway, so we're going to... Anyway, I don't know. This will be fun. See if you're in town.
I know. I got to get there.
I don't think they're having any Joko concerts in Winnipeg anytime soon.
Whatever, I'm going to find one tonight.
All right, any more news before we get to our links of the day? And then we have a guest today I should mention. We're going to talk about Vidler, which is, I think, my current favorite video site for uploading your videos to. And Colin DeVrue, who is a developer and evangelist at Vidler, is going to join us in just a few minutes.
Perfect. I just had one other link, and I have to mention this because Michael Duffy has emailed us many times over, and he has started a site called twit.tv, twyt.tv.
Yeah.
And
what is it?
It's kind of, It's kind of like a blog. Well, it is a blog. And what he does is he blogs as though it's the 1960s. And he blogs about new radio technology. And he'll talk about companies like, oh, and there's this new company called Sony. Oh. And so he's been bugging me to mention the site. So
this
I promised him I would.
Funny.
It's very
funny.
This is
from 1963, the McCourty Report. The Princess
yes.
Phone. Oh, this is funny. The Ice Scraper.
It's very funny. And I have one more link before we go on to the guest, Leo. Sorry, I'm going to squeeze this in here. It's a kind of another web design / usability link that I stumbled across that I absolutely love. It's called findability.org.
Findability.org. Okay.
Yes, and if you're interested at all in learning more about information architecture and studying how to provide a good user experience online, it's a fantastic site.
This is your big thing, is IA.
Yeah, I'm pretty into it, and you know, I very rarely find a site that I think does a good job of explaining information architecture and talking about usability. Jacob Nielsen, who we've talked about before, is kind of like the usability guru. His site, Use It, is a terrible site, which is a little bit ironic, considering that he does user experience consulting. But so it's kind of like that that saying about the cobbler, how the cobbler's kids have their shoes. Is that right?
Isn't that ironic?
I know. So anyway, but this findability.org is a great place to go.
Hey, you got a new Amber Mac picture on Facebook. You're floating in the air.
Oh, I know. Do you like it?
Yeah. How did you do that? That's really cool.
I actually got someone else to take the picture of me, and it's probably one of the worst pictures that I've ever taken, and it's so dorky.
It's
and
adorable.
It's such a loser photo.
It's definitely a Facebook photo. You look cute.
It's hilarious. It's so funny. I found it so hilarious. Like I noticed that most people like to put nice pictures of themselves on Facebook, but every time I get a goofy picture like that, I have to share it.
Well, everybody says, love the picture. That's a wicked photo. Are you sure you're not in high school anymore?
yeah, that was my favorite. That was a good
you do.
One.
You look like a little kid bouncing on the bed. That's really funny. Now, if you could only get into a half lotus while you're in the air, it would look like you're floating.
Well, I'm in a hotel room right now, Leo.
Oh, you got plenty of time to practice. Absolutely.
Exactly.
There were a couple of new sites that started up this week that I thought I'd maybe pull out of the bag. We're still waiting. Colin hasn't gotten online yet, I don't think. Let me just check. I don't see him yet. But as soon as he gets online, we'll get him on here. But a couple of sites I wanted to mention. You probably saw the leaked screenshot of Buzz, which is going to be Yahoo's Dig clone. And It looks very similar to Dig. Instead of saying dig it or dig me, it says buzz me. Still got the voting. You know, it's not the first time a company's tried to clone Dig. Remember, Netscape did and didn't do very well. In fact, it's gone now. Now they're trying to do that. And I'm seeing a lot of new news sites. I guess because we're having an election here in the U.S. and they figure a lot of people are going to want to watch news or something like that.
Yeah, there's another news site I read about on TechCrunch today. I can't remember the name of it.
Yes, I know. That's the one I was going to mention. It's called NewsPond. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
The most advanced news site on the net. You know what? I like the idea. It's very diggish. They have some sort of algorithm for bringing stories up to the top. But it's not you. Doesn't look like users can vote, or I'm not sure if they can. It's got something called a buoyancy rating.
Interesting. Leo, do you have time to... I sent you one other link that we could play.
Sure.
It's from via Boing Boing, and it's how to behave on the internet. I like it.
Is it a video?
It's a video. It's initially from the site videojug.com, which is a site where they have a bunch of how-to videos.
I'm loving all these videos. Did you see that now not only does Vimeo, but Daily Motion is going to do HD?
I know.
Isn't that interesting?
Can you believe it? And if they detect that your computer or your system can't handle HD, it will actually just give you standard definition, which is good as well.
But did you look on the story? They had a clip of a high def clip. I guess it was a game demo. It looked pretty darn good.
Oh, I'm so excited about that.
I have to admit. I think that, well, do you shoot Command N in high def?
No, but we will. I think we will by the end of this year, if not earlier, maybe even in the summer.
I think people are going to want that.
I do too.
I don't know why.
I do too. I totally agree.
Swedish couple fined for naming their child. Maybe that's it. No, that's not it. Let's see. I'm looking for it. I haven't gotten the mail yet, so I'm looking through Boing Boing.
Oh, okay. So you don't have the... I sent it in the link that I sent you earlier today, but if you don't have...
Oh, you sent in the link you sent earlier today. Oh, how to behave on the internet, doy. Sorry. I'm not very
smart. I'll forgive you.
It's because I've worked in TV too long. It took all my brain cells away.
Yeah, exactly. It does make you dumb, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
All right. Sort of slows things down.
Oh, this is how to behave on an internet forum. I think we do need this, actually. It's taking a little while to load. This isn't the fastest site I've ever seen.
How to behave on an internet forum. On the internet. The internet can be either a Brillo wow place to hang out and pretend to be chummy with people you don't really know through the power of ASCII, or a horrible nightmare filled with scornful pricks you'll want to stab in the eye with a stick. It just seems to be something of a shame that several people out there don't seem to understand the rules of the internet, so here's how to behave properly in a forum. Step 1. Flame wars. By and large, the trouble with the internet, and forums in particular, is that everyone gets to be anonymous. This essentially gives them free rein to be as snooty and argumentative as they like.
Oh, isn't that
true? A troll
true?
Posts deliberately controversial or annoying messages for the specific purpose of getting a rise out of people and initiating a hate-filled and overly argumentative
I should mention, because you're hearing those sound effects, there's like old-style, Nintendo-style video game characters acting this out.
Oh, yeah.
It's very funny. I guess, you know what, we'll let people go to Videojug. Or actually go to our site, because we'll have a link to videojug.com. How to behave on an internet forum. And everybody must read and watch this. You must learn this.
It's good. It's a good little video. So that was a courtesy of Boing Boing.
How not to be a snark.
Yes.
All right. Let me see if our guest is ready here. Colin. I'm going to try to add him. I don't, you know, it doesn't look like he's on, but sometimes that happens magically on Skype. I'm going to connect with him right now. Mr. Devroux, Colin Devroux, how are you? Hello, Colin.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi.
So when did Vidler start? And were you there at the beginning? Are you one of the founders? Or
no. Vidler has only been public for about a year and 2 months. And I started... actually, I was consulted with a few months prior to it even being developed on. And then about a year later, the president, Rob, came back to me and said, hey, we built what you said that we should do. And
now what?
Yeah. And so I once I saw it and saw what the roadmap was, I said that, you know, whatever I have to do to be part of it, I will be part of it. So I drove down to their offices and... haven't looked back since.
Who are these guys?
Rob Sandy is from... He used to work for Macromedia.
And so that explains it.
Right. And the other co-founder
it's
is Donna...
Because it's Flash-based, Donna who?
Sorry. Donna DeMarco. Okay. They were both at Lehigh University together.
Oh, that's neat. So The thing I like about it, Amber, is that you can comment as you're watching...
Yeah.
So it comes up like pop-up video. If you go to my site, I have quite a bit of video on there. In fact, I want to use it. I'm going to start recording the opens to my radio show on it because then people can comment, and it kind of makes it more fun to watch as you see these comments go scrolling by as pop-up video. And then, Colin, you've been working on, and I love this, a plugin for WordPress that allows people to do video commenting on WordPress.
Yeah, so we have an API for those of you that don't know what that means. That means that developers can now develop on top of our platform. We've always viewed ourselves as more of a platform than just a social site. Now, obviously, the comment thing was kind of our first road into being a little bit different than everybody else. But we've done a lot behind the scenes to separate ourselves. In a way that we hope will give us longevity and value to people that want to develop on top of the platform. So whether you're, you know, just someone doing, you know, sharing videos with your family, then obviously the social site of Vidler.com is good for you. But if you're a business or a company or an event and you have a lot of video that you'd like to aggregate in a specific way or whatever, we're hoping that we can give you the tools and a cost-effective platform to be able to do that.
One thing I like about the... Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that the one of the first things that we're doing right now, since our API has only been about a month and a half to 2 months old, is now we're starting to build some of these tools so that we get some things in developers' hands that they can start to play with.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say one thing that I like about the idea of video commenting is I've come across so many issues when people are commenting online, and obviously they feel as though they can be totally anonymous and they don't have to put their real name and show their face. And so I love the idea that someone can comment and show their face, and it takes that anonymity away from that system, which makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah. And one of the, you know, obviously video is huge right now on the internet, and Leo, obviously, as someone that produces a lot of these videos, you see that there's a, you know, it's only going to get bigger from here, right? And the biggest thing is that there is no real way to talk about video at specific moments. And so we saw a real big need there where, you know, you're watching something that's let's say, 25 minutes long. And obviously, we're not talking about the normal Flash, you know, websites that are out there, because we're one of the only websites that allow you to do 500 megabyte videos or even larger if you'd like.
Really? Wow.
And I didn't know that. That's great.
Right. So because we're looking for long form content, because obviously it gets hard. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but if you go to any other site and watch a video, even if it's on a blog, you'll see that someone will say something like, did you see that spot at, you know, 8 minutes and 33 seconds where he said this, or and so on and so forth. So not only, you know, if we go way back in time, did you, before even streaming video came out, even through stuff like QuickTime, you'd have to wait till the whole thing progressively downloaded and then drag your cursor around until you found the spot that the person was talking about. And now, not only can you put the comment right at the spot, but every single millisecond in any of the video that you see on Vidler.com is permalinkable.
Okay.
Not only can you link someone in an email or an IM to a specific moment in any video on our site, but you can also embed that video at a specific moment on any site.
Oh, that's interesting. I've been looking at how to do that with audio as well. Does that require a Flash streaming server on your end? Or?
Well, to get into technology as far as what goes beyond on our end, we have a huge infrastructure. We're hosted with Limelight, which is one of the biggest CDNs
yeah.
around it.
Oh, yeah.
You know them or not. And so to be able to pull some of this off, obviously we have a lot of technology going on there, but you can also do audio if you'd like. We've actually got a lot of requests for doing our exact player with video, with audio. So we're thinking that once our API matures fast enough, we'll be able to do that for people.
Can you put so if you're watching a video, and of course you can comment and text at a point in the video, can you also put video comments at that point?
Absolutely.
You can.
Yep, you can.
So you can have a video comment on a video.
Yeah, I think that's what Amber was talking about, too, is that it takes the anonymity away. She was.
Well, I'm thinking, I don't know about her, but I was thinking about it because on blog comments, that's very cool yeah. Because there's no anonymity, but it also creates more community. I mean, we can now see the commenter becomes even more kind of important because you can see them and you can kind of get a sense yeah. of them. But to actually be able to comment within the video is even cooler. I didn't realize you could do that, too.
Yeah.
And it stays on the timeline as well, that's along the bottom?
Yeah, you should give it a try.
It's really neat. Well, most of the comments...
It really is cool. A lot of, you know, it's one of those things where we're in a space where it's really saturated, like you were saying. And we have, you know, let's say we have 15 really good things going on for us right now. And we're hoping to build that list out to be 30 things. And it's hard to really get people to see it, but you really got to give it a try. And, you know, maybe I'll give you guys a video that you can share on your on Net at Night website or something so that people can see maybe
yeah.
a best use case or something. To
Well, and, you know, I ran up against the 10-minute limit when you're encoding directly to the site using the Flash encoder, but you yeah. take longer videos. And so I'm just going to, you know, and I lost the second days because my system crashed while it was in. Well, I was uploading, coding it.
Yeah,
so,
your browser might have crashed, right?
Yeah, I think that's, well, the whole thing blue screened. Not blue screened, it was a Mac, so kernel panicked.
It wasn't
you. No. I was running a lot of other stuff going on, and something kernel panicked. But what I'll do now is I'll create it, and this is the other way you can do it, is create it, record locally using mm-hmm. an iMovie and a high-quality camera, and then just upload it. And that way I won't be limited to any length, right? Then I can get a much bigger file.
Yeah.
Size
unfortunately, there. we're kind of limited in the fact that eventually we have to stream that video to our server. So if you do something that's longer than 10 minutes, it just gets to be kind of a headache.
It takes a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were talking today actually on Cranky Geeks. I was on Cranky Geeks with Adam Curry and talking about, as we just talked about, Amber, that now Daily Motion is going to allow high def uploads. Vimeo already does. SmugMug does if you pay them. And Curry said, you know, the real problem here, the difficulty is that it takes a lot of processor power on your end as a host to encode these things. He said, right now, the way YouTube works, a single server can only encode 4 streams at a time. So YouTube, which has hundreds of thousands of uploads a day, has to have, well, divide by 4, that many servers. I mean, it's a lot of processing on your end.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on, you know, how many encoders you could put on each processor, right?
Right. So he said there was limited to 4 per processor. 4 simultaneously.
You're right. You know, I'm not real versed on that. We use Onto's encoder, which most people are probably familiar with.
You don't use a Macromedia product? Or Adobe product?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Do you encode as
H.264 as an intermediate?
Okay, so that's a whole other cool discussion that we could have as far as where things might go. In that eventually Flash will be able, well, it does now, but
they're
eventually
adding that capability, right?
Flash
right,
players right. can play H.264, which opens up a whole other can of worms hosting wise because it's a little different of a beast. But in a short answer, we do have that ability to, you give us one. Any file type you'd like, and we can pretty much put it in any file type that we might need it in, whether it's Flash or H.264 or anything else. So we don't do that currently for every one of our videos. If you know that, you know, the Apple YouTube partnership that they had, they were only doing a few thousand at a time because that's, you know, it's a hefty process. So
how long before you do HD? Is that something on your timeline?
The biggest thing with HD is that the Flash player still doesn't support true HD output yet. And, you know, you can surely allow people to upload a large HD file, which you're looking at gigabytes, right, at that point. And you can also put the resolution of your player to be at the, you know, the aspect ratio, so on and so forth, that an HD file provides. But technically, you're still not serving HD. You know, there's a lot of sites out there that are saying that, you know, they have HD streams and so on and so forth, and they look great. The point is they're doing a lot less encoding on their end to give you back the original file that somebody uploaded. So there's still a lot of work to be done there, and I'm obviously not the expert on Flash, but we know that we'll be ready when the time comes for sure.
Is there, just out of curiosity, we had someone on the show last week from overlay.tv talking about overlaying images and embeddable links onto video. You had the option where to put those links on the page, so it would help with for advertisements in shows. Do you guys plan to do anything like that?
Okay, so well, we do a few things. One thing is, and Leo, you know, probably did the best description of Vidler last week that I could probably ever ask for, especially from somebody who doesn't work with us. Is the fact that in addition to the comments and the video comments that we do in the timeline, we also do tagging. So you can, you know, some people might refer to them as DVD chapters. Some people use them as actual tagging of things that happen in video. Leo uses them to kind of annotate what he is discussing in a video. So all these things fit, right? But what ends up happening is you start to build a context inside of a video. So let's say if I had a video that said, here is my new car. Nowhere in that metadata does it say that I bought a Honda Civic. And so happens is by adding tags, just like, you know, Flickr does or anybody else does, you can actually add tags to moments in time.
So as you're going and watching the video and it scrolls, you know, you see his car, a tag will pop up that says Honda, comma, car, you know, whatever you want those tags to be.
And then, based on that, we can serve an ad. So
yeah, that's really a neat idea. I've already made $25, Amber. I just want you to know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were telling me that.
I have to take a look at his CPMs. He must be happy.
Well, right now, you're only using Amazon affiliate links. I know you're trying to make deals for advertisers. And that's the kind
of thing
that's going to come along.
We're doing a couple things. We're not only, you know, kind of testing the contextual system itself with a few different vendors. We have feeds coming in from a few different affiliates and from Amazon and so on and so forth. We're also testing geolocation so that ads come up based on where you are getting the video from. Obviously, using a CDN that affords us the ability to kind of figure out where you are when you're viewing the video. Not even just, you know, if you're logged in, we know from your profile where you may say you're from, but we can go a little bit beyond that. And then also, we're testing some things with extending this platform to third-party developers and partners so that they can create advertising silos. So, you know, if a social website comes along and wants to use Vidler as their video platform, they can actually serve their own ads to their own videos, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a lot of testing at this point, and some of the things that you're seeing is a resulting of our testing. But once we make some strategic partnerships for advertising, you should start to see a lot better ads and so on and so forth. But the system itself is being tested right now.
Revers had a hard time making this, a similar strategy work.
I mean, you know as well as I mean, have you ever seen post rolls work?
No. That's where the ad comes at the end of the video. And that's the real problem, is as soon as you're done with the video, you stop it. Mm-hmm. You either have to do a pre-roll,
if you even get there, right.
You either have to do a pre-roll, which people hate because they have to sit through a commercial. Or I really like your model because they're plain text ads. You can turn them off. They're not annoying. And they're in the context of a bunch of other fun pop-ups.
It's a completely opt-in system, too.
Yeah, so I like it. Yeah, that's right. You can turn them off.
The real way to succeed in advertising is to be unobtrusive and to be contextual. And as long as we can pull that off, and that's what we're striving to do.
I think that's very smart, and that's a really apt description of it. There's a lot of people making video now, Amber. I mean, everybody's doing it.
I was just going to say my last question for you is, how do you get people to come and start using the site? I know that there are selected people, especially early adopters, who have been using the site for a while, but there's so many options out there right now as far as where you can put your video, and a lot of these options have great functionality attached to it. How do you guys plan to kind of get ahead of them?
Well, that's, you know, that's one thing that's the probably the hardest thing to compete on, right? But I guess the way to answer that would be that we try to be of benefit and of value to those that use us. And as long as we can do that, we think that we'll be all right. Instead of building a gimmick or building something that we think that we can turn over in a really quick period of time or just to get funding in or have one feature that we think is good and kind of ride that to the end, we're really trying to build value and longevity in our service. So, you can kind of think of it as like the Craigslist, model, where some people pay, but everybody benefits. And that way we're able to, if we don't fit with you, then maybe we can do something to help you. And I don't know if we're pretty accessible. It's kind of funny that a lot of our support goes through Twitter or Instant Messenger, or, almost every user that's on Vidler has my cell phone number. And it's one of those things where we're small enough at this point, and even when we get bigger, we're hoping that we can scale the way that we do customer service, is that if you come along and you have a specific need, we're not against trying to help you fill that need. And that's hard to get some places.
Oh, definitely.
I have to say, I've tried a lot of different, in fact, for this very purpose, I tried a lot of different video upload sites, and Vidler really caught my imagination because of this ability to comment and so forth. And
we've got a lot more in store, so stick around.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy with it, and it's given me it's funny, Amber, I'm not the kind of guy that can sit in front of a camera and start talking. I'm not a vlogger. It's been painful for me. Yeah, isn't that funny? You wouldn't think that.
No.
Partly because I work in TV and I'm uncomfortable with the notion of this kind of very informal off-the-cuff kind of stuff, mm-hmm. where there's no set, there's no lights, there's no background, there's no makeup, it's weird looking. And then
it's funny because that's where Vidler actually has its foundations. One of the largest groups that we have groups on Vidler where people can start their own little communities, right? Kind of like Flickr groups, I guess, and where people can, create a community around paintballing or whatever. And one of the biggest ones is called a Meet Today group. And the Meet Today group is pretty much just you get on there and you say what you did for the day. Maybe something that's interesting, maybe something that's not that interesting. Maybe you're crying because you lost your job. Maybe you're happy because you found a new girlfriend. It doesn't matter. But is the biggest group that we have. And then another one was called the NaNoWriMo group, which is the National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, yeah. That was really neat. We actually talked to them, didn't we? On some show of mine, we did NaNoWriMo.
It's all blending into
I do too many shows. I don't remember if it was with you, Amber, or somebody else. But Jason Snell was participating in that, the editor-in-chief of Macworld, among many others.
Yeah. So there's to get to the point was just that there was a lot of there's a lot of this free form, you know, conversational, and that's really what we think we are is the player.
You don't
really
want TV
does.
Shows on there. You really want blog postings. You want personal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so what I did, Amber, and I'm going to start doing, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to use Viddler to do this because it's just this perfect platform, is just record the beginning of my radio show where I monologue for 12 minutes.
Okay.
And I do one every show. So that's two a week. And I thought, well, there's a way to get some of this content. It helps promote the radio show. It's a way somebody who's not aware of the radio show can see it. And it's kind of interesting. I think it's kind of interesting to watch, much more so than me just sitting there saying, well, I had a turkey sandwich for lunch. I know. But I want to see you do some of this, Amber. I would, you know, nowadays we all have these laptops with cameras built in.
Oh, I know.
And I keep thinking, gosh, you know, I should just be doing this all the time. But I don't want to become one of those self-absorbed kind of daily vlogger types. I don't know. I don't have that much to say.
Maybe we could do it together, Leo. We could help each other out.
Yeah, because, you know, that's when the show... Go ahead, Colin.
iChat lets you record your video conferences, so you can do
I know,
like
and
that.
We've been trying with Skype call recorder to do... maybe we should do little short things, Amber, in addition to Net at Night with Skype call recorder, because you can do side-by-side recording, this Ecamm call recorder. Maybe that's how we'll do it.
That's what I think. We should do something together because we always have lots to say to each other.
It's much easier much easier when somebody else is there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And the other thing I've been looking at, and this was a Mac Break Weekly pick this week. Merlin and Alex Lindsay, I think, picked this. It's very cool from Verisoft. They do some really neat video stuff, and I know you know about Verisoft. What? Mm-hmm. Anybody say something?
Nope.
This is my imagination. ScreenFlow, it's called. And it's a screencasting studio that allows you to...
It's just fantastic.
Have you seen this? You can capture the screen and capture video at the same time and then intercut with transitions. So maybe between that and you and me, maybe we can, you know, we could practically do call for help.
Oh, yeah.
From here. And you're in Winnipeg.
I'll tell you what, speaking of large communities, probably the third largest community on Viddler is actually sharing screencasts of your products.
Oh, interesting.
Because with tagging and commenting on a moment in time during a screencast, we have a lot of school teachers that use Viddler to record some of their classes, and then people can come back and watch specific, you know, points in the video for maybe a point that they missed, or in college they, you know, they leave the class early or whatever. And there's a lot of that going on. Actually, one of the people that are using, one of the companies that are using our platform right now is Duke University. So they're doing some beta testing right now where they're doing things just like that. So being able to record a screencast and then putting it up on Viddler allows people to go in and kind of annotate, you know, what's going on in the video.
I don't know what it all means. I don't know how there's a social network here because you have friends. There are these groups. It's like Flickr with video because there's tagging, there's groups, there's contacts. Mm-hmm. It's very much like Flickr with video. I just know when I look at it, there's a certain, you know how it is, Amber? There's a certain rightness where you go, oh, they're onto something here.
That's like when we first saw YouTube. I actually watched the video we did when we reviewed YouTube in October of 2005. And I went back and watched it and I thought, you know, you see a site like that and you're like, yeah, there's something sort of sticky about it, and something that just works. And you just know inherently right away that it's gonna work, right?
Don't get your hopes up too high, Colin. We're not always perfect.
My hopes are always up.
Colin DeVroux, thank you so much for joining us. It's viddler.com.
Hey, I'd like to do a little exclusive launch with you guys, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Something that we have just kind of put the lipstick on in the last maybe 2 hours. is a new site. Obviously, we're trying to use our API. We're trying to show people what they can do with it. And so over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been putting together South by Southwest videos, which is sxswvideos.com. And it's up right
Amber
now.
And I were just saying how sorry we were that we aren't going to be able to go to South by Southwest.
Well, now you can attend virtually.
Awesome. Look at this.
It's awesome.
Not only that, it's beautiful. Look at that. Add your own video. So people who are at South by Southwest will blog from there.
Absolutely.
Including, including Justine and Gary Vaynerchuk, I see on here. Dad Labs.
But anybody can do it. You can just click use your webcam there or upload a video right from the website. You don't have to go to vidlo.com at all. We'll take the sign up right through there. It kind of works like the WordPress widget, Leo. And we're going to be doing a little bit more with this, but it should be pretty neat.
That just shows you have a very powerful API. That's fantastic. And I do want to mention
the truth.
Go ahead.
Besides the design, I built a few libraries for our site. So any of you developers out there that know what this means will appreciate this. Using my own little local server here, this took about 7 hours of just development. I mean, besides the design, we have a designer in Phoenix named Andrew who is just fantastic.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful design. Yeah. Yeah, and you work in PHP?
This is the funny part. Our website is actually in Java. Our entire infrastructure is based on Java.
It's JSP?
It would be actually like literal Java.
Really?
Like JSP, yeah. Yes. So, and it's compiled in the whole nine yards. So if you go to vidlo.com, you're looking at Java. But since we have an API, now we have the luxury of using whatever frameworks and languages that we're familiar with. And since I am not the main developer for Vidler, I like PHP. So this happens to be PHP.
So that's great. So there's a PHP set of PHP libraries yet for this?
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, that's
and,
great.
And JavaScript and AppleScript and all kinds of things.
Very neat. I'm really excited about this company, and I think they're really going places. Colin, I thank you. And we should mention
thank you so much.
The WordPress plugin, it's called the video. What do you call it now? You changed the name. It's the video.
Video companion plugin. Anybody that uses WordPress, please get in contact with me. We're right at the tail end of beta testing this, but it essentially allows you to video blog right from within your WordPress admin.
Try it, Amber. You got to go to my site and make a comment on one of the posts, and it's so easy.
Video comment on it. Blog post. It's pretty neat.
It's really cool. It's just right there, right next to the video comments or the standard text comments is a video comment capability. And right now it's WordPress. You'll be out soon, I'm sure. And then do you plan to support other platforms or?
Absolutely. It's already being ported into 4 other platforms right now. One is called Habari. Another one is called Movable Type. And I think there's another one that I'm not quite familiar with, but it's used a lot in Asian countries. So
interesting. Well, if you do a movable type widget, Amber will be able to use it on her TypePad blog, I'm sure.
So that we have to look into that a little bit more. We have somebody that's actually working on that that's not even part of Vidler. They kind of just took my code that I did for WordPress and they're starting to port it themselves. So that's the whole point, right?
Right. As you've got a good API, you can do that. Colin, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
That was great.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. And that's, by the way, sxswvideos.com. That's the new site that they launched, powered by Vidler. So you can go to South by Southwest, like Amber and me. You will be able to see. Now, they don't have anything yet, because South by Southwest doesn't begin until next week. But they do have some stuff already.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
It's
we'll
very
have to
cool.
check it out for sure.
You know what I like about the plugin for WordPress? You still get to approve every... I do comment approvals, because I don't want to have any spam on my site. So you still get to approve the comments. They don't just go right there. So you really feel like, I can allow people to post video and I can make sure it's okay before I allow people to see it. It really works well.
That's very cool. We have to try it out, Leo. Once I get in my new little studio and you have your studio, we got to do more video.
All right. That's a deal. You and I are going to do something together, a video podcast, you from Toronto, me from Petaluma. And we'll think of maybe we could do a daily newscast or something.
We'll figure it out. I have faith.
We were going to make Net at Night video, and we're just still, it's an audio podcast. And so let's get a couple more links, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
I think that's it for links, actually.
You're done with links?
Yeah, I'm done with links. That's why I squeezed 2 in.
You're so good.
You didn't even notice.
You are so good.
I squeezed them in, Leo.
You are so good.
But there'll be lots more for next week, and I know people keep sending links as well, so there's lots to talk about, and it's never dull with you, Leo, especially after my dreams of the refinery transformers coming to get us.
Yes. Amber and I are on the run, by the way, because the apparently, I didn't know this, but refineries host robots, Transformer-style robots, who will chase you.
Yes. Gist of that is I had a dream where Leo and I were escaping Transformer-like robots from a refinery
That's
near his
weird.
House.
You're
in
just weird.
Sonoma.
So, thank you. AmberMack.com is her blog. Make sure you go there. There's always great stuff up there, and you can find out what Amber's up to these days. She's certainly doing the Command N every week. That's CommandN.tv, her video podcast. And, of course, we're still doing Net at Night. In fact, now that we can record directly in Skype and record video, I'm going to be in Vancouver next week. Let's do a show next week. And
let's do it.
See if we can make that work.
Awesome.
It's magic.
All right. Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Amber MacArthur. And we'll see you next time, folks, on Net at Night.